When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 3rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. There's so many things that we're doing here at Pitcherlist. I got to let you guys know about really quickly. One, we are looking for a database engineer to join our Pitcherlist team. What's really exciting about this is a part-time position that may turn into a full-time as soon as next year, at the start of the year. So definitely, this is the thing you want to do. There's a lot of work we have to do, obviously, with stats and APIs and everything like that, and we want the right fit to join our team. So definitely go to pitcherlist.com/hiring, apply for the position there. You'll see the full job listing there as well. In addition, I'm on playback.tv/pitcherlist every single morning, 10 a.m. to 12 in the morning, live streaming and answering your fantasy questions all the way down to the wire for your fantasy playoffs. No, I'm not focusing on football. I'm focusing on this. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing you there. All right, Joe Ryan, 4 innings, 7 earned runs. What the heck? Right, this is against the Cardinals. He allowed 4 home runs here. It's kind of nuts, isn't that? He has an 8.63 ERA and a 1.8 whip now across his last 7 starts, but it is a 14.5 K per 9 in that time. So you are getting strikeouts. You got 52 in 7 starts, which is fantastic. It's over 7 a game, but something's wrong here. So you're still getting 4 seamers at the top of the zone, and that's good. That's the foundation that we want for Joe Ryan. How he had his success early in the season. Guys are sitting on it a little bit more than they used to, and the splitter is just a lot more hittable than it used to as well. There is some silver lining, and that is the development of his slider. In the last 6 games before this one, it was a 5.53 PLV across all of it with a fantastic 37% CSW and a 62% strike rate. These are really, really good things here. A really bad BABIP on at 6.25, plus 6 hit luck though, so he's getting unlucky on it. I do think there is more development happening with that slider than I've been giving credit for Ryan, but obviously, despite that slider being good, the results have been terrible. So maybe it doesn't really matter. No, I'm going to tell you that Joe Ryan needs to get that thing down. Once he does that and actually truly excels with that slider, as I think the stuff itself is good enough, then he will get out of this. Not to mention, he's allowing home runs, and that's just really destroying him too. So I think this is something that does get fixed with Joe Ryan over time. If you have a chance to buy low on Joe Ryan, I would be doing that. It does remind me a little bit of Matthew Boyd from 2019, where we got really, really excited because he was just dominating in that first half. And then all of a sudden, every single game, he was just allowing home runs and home runs and home runs. And we just didn't really accept it. And there is a chance that is what Joe Ryan is for the rest of the second half. I'm not going to say otherwise, but I do believe that Joe Ryan is not going to be this guy all of a sudden for the rest of the year. Other guys from yesterday, there is one start that everyone is like, Nick, unbelievable. Cole Ragans. This is a guy that I've been really harping on that the Royals should be starting. And I'm so sorry for coughing there. He was traded for Aroldis Chapman a month ago. The Royals starting for a doubleheader. He was sitting 97.5 on the fastball across over 60 pitches, and I was just ecstatic. I was like, or actually, it was 80 pitches, and I would say, look, why are you not starting? You have all these other guys. Then all of a sudden, Ryan Yarbrough gets traded. Yes, Ryan Yarbrough. And I got so excited because chat said during the trade deadline thing with Sporo, which, by the way, if he came through on that, that was the most fun thing. We just had like 200 people here in the room. It was great. And I... all of a sudden, it opened this door for Cole Ragans. So what does he do? He finally gets his first start against the Mets and gets a win. 6 innings of shutout baseball, 7 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, earned a King Cole with a 38% CSW, 13 whiffs, 94 pitches, and a 94-95 fastball. Ah, you were so close. Just be the best self. If he was 97 on this, with this result, I would just be over the moon shouting from the hilltops to get Cole Ragans. Now, I'm not going to... There are still lots of things to get excited about. I just picked him up in the Legacy League because, you know what? I think this could be the second half of Cole Ragans. So, why I got excited about him before, I'm going to spend a lot of time in this podcast on this. I'm going to breeze through everything else, just so you know. Cole Ragans, command on the four-seamer is really good. It used to be something where it was kind of mutton chops, where the fastball would miss a little bit too high, the cutter would go too much arm side, and really wouldn't get the swings that you wanted, and then the changeup wouldn't get down, and it would be too glove side and up, and they didn't really have a good curveball that we can depend on, and that was really frustrating. It's why he struggled a bit with Texas. Here, four-seamer was perfect. I mean, we're talking right at the very top of the zone, and then also spotted down and glove side as well. I mean, going back and forth with that is insane. To be able to just say, look, to lefties, I'm going to go down and away, or I'm also going to go upstairs. Like, avoiding the middle of the zone with that fastball is really good. 94, 95, a little annoying, but I still think that he has it in him to push it up to 96 plus, if not 97 and such. So that's great. The cutter changed. It actually isn't a cutter anymore. Only two of them were really that cutter, maybe three. Everything else was down to, you know, from 89 miles per hour all the way down to 84. It was a slider, and it looked great. He got it down in glove side consistently. Changeup was down. Curveball was down. This is great! I mean, yeah, he did have some that missed in the middle of the zone. The Mets are worse now because morale and everything. But, oh boy, I mean, he gets the Red Sox next, and I can't suggest starting that just because the Red Sox are a really good offense right now. They're like top five or something like that. So I can't say that. But Cole Ragans could be like that sneaky, sneaky pickup for the second half. I am just really, really excited. Really good Blake Snell blueprint with this. He's getting that opportunity. But yeah, win chance is going to be low. Probably not going to get too many more of these wins. It is a good home park. Ugh, Cole Ragans is just so fun. It's so fun right now. He's going to blow up a couple times. Of course he is, but yeah, I love this stuff where it just kind of appears out of nowhere and you like have legit skills and no one cares. Carter Crawford against the Mariners came through as a stream, and that's great. Five innings of shutout ball, five base runners, five Ks, and he leaned into his cutter 30% of the time. It worked. I don't really think that he's doing incredible things, unfortunately. I don't really love that cutter. I think the four-seamer is better, but it wasn't that good of a pitch in this one. The cutter just kind of worked against the Mariners. The sweeper went 10% CSW, but it was 60% strike, so that's fine. Yeah, he got through this one, and as far as the next start, it should be against those Royals, so hopefully he comes through there. But yeah, Carter Crawford to me is just isn't taking that next step, but fine. If he gets, you know, if he gets the Royals, and then maybe he gets kicked out with Chris Sale. No, it should be Carter Crawford, I think, when Sale returns, and it could be a two-step next week of Royals and Tigers, and I would be in for that with Carter Crawford. Nick Martinez started because Joe Musgrove got scratched with a sore shoulder, and he went three innings inside of Coors of shutout ball, and Nick Martinez absolutely should be starting. He executed the Blake Snell blueprint across these 38 pitches, and I'm just like, this is stupid. I hate this. Let him start. I know they got Rich Hill, and I was saying like, oh, because Weathers left, that's why they got Rich Hill. I actually do wonder if it's Rich Hill now because they knew about Musgrove, and then he wasn't ready to go for this one, so they just knew they had to make do with this. It just stinks because, like, here's Nick Martinez, and he's made to start, and they're just not doing it. All right, Dane Dunning had an insane outing against the White Sox, 11 Ks, 7.2 innings, one earned run, three hits, one walk. He earned his gold star because what the heck? His slider was insane with his cutter, 23% swing strike rate between the two of them. Got 13 call strikes in the sinker. This is, like, the most ideal Dunning. Maybe he's able to go 50% cutters and sliders moving forward, and that would work, but then also 41% CSW in the sinker is likely not going to stick around, and slider getting so many outs in the field, and it's also Chicago, gets a lot of whiffs, but it's also the Athletics next, so fine. I'll take a chance now on Dane Dunning. This is the most intrigued I've been on Dane Dunning, obviously after 11 strikeouts, but like, this is totally different than it was before. Yusei Kikuchi against the Orioles did his thing of throwing breaking balls in the zone and getting away with it, and the four-seamer was a little bit chaotic, but it still worked, and props to him. I guess we're just going to keep holding on as the movement is legit for those breaking balls. And we have a lot of other guys to talk about, and of course today and tomorrow starters, and we're going to talk about all of those after this break. This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100, so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Tony Gonsolin against Oakland did exactly what Itobi's supposed to do. Got a win in five innings, and that's cool. All right. Wade Miley returned from the IL and unfortunately only threw 60 pitches, so four innings total here. It gets Rocky Road next. Maybe he goes 75 or so and pulls that out for a win. Not really that bad. I'm okay with that. Rocky Road is pretty good to pitch against, especially with Cronin and Grichuk gone now, too. Gerrit Cole against the Rays, 7 innings, 200 runs. Ace is going to ace. Nothing really I need to say there. Logan Webb looked great too, 7 innings of 200 runs. I just wish that that slider was what it used to be. I mean, 43% strike rate on a slider is just, oh my gosh. Logan Webb, if you had your 2021 slider, you would be better than you were in 2021 because the changeup is just that much better now too. But hey, he's really good. Is he an ace? I don't know. But he's kind of bordering it, borderlining. I don't know what the word is. It's fine. He's close to it. Eduardo Rodriguez stuck around with the Tigers, and he came through for your fantasy teams because he went against the Pirates. Got a win, 6 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Not the greatest command, but the changeup would look good. The cutter was pretty good. Sinker could be better. I think you're fine against the Twins next. Ace is going to ace for Zach Wheeler. I'm giving it to him. 3 ERA, 1 whip, and just under a 30% strikeout rate across his last 10 starts, including this one. This is Zach Wheeler, guys. Mackenzie Gore. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. Brewers did well. Great. He's a cherry bomb. Did not do like exceptionally well. It was only 5 strikeouts and 200 runs in 6 innings, but that's good. Sadly, I feel like he's just a cherry bomb. There's nothing else that really dictates otherwise. Tanner Bibee did not do well against the Astros. It was only 200 runs in 5 innings, but it was 11 base runners with 4 walks and 4 Ks here. I hope it's the command just not being good for one night. Also, the Astros are really, really strong in props, I guess, for 11 base runners, only 200 runs. But Tanner Bibee, you need to get your command better than this, and I don't know if we are going to see that because it was 2 starts of good command. One was exceptional. One was fine, good enough, and like, okay, I'll take that, and this is another step down. So this is kind of what I expected with Tanner Bibee. I hope it's a one night bland. I feel weird saying that because he's not an ace, but like, I hope it was just a one night of dipping and then he gets back to, and also the Astros are tough, whatever. You're gonna make him work a little bit more. Maybe he overthrew with that expectation of it being the Astros. Slate Sassoni. I hope I'm saying that name right. Sassoni, I don't know. 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. You don't know who that is. He pitches for the Diamondbacks. Made his debut in Oracle Park yesterday. Nothing exceptional whatsoever in my view. I just don't think. I mean, he's super four-seamer focused. The secondary stuff is terrible. The command is just not there. Maybe over time he gets that, but there's no reason to chase it now. Ronel Blanco made the start for the Astros as they pushed back Christian Javier an extra day. And now with Verlander entering it as well, and you have Urquidy coming back to the rotation too, this is it for Blanco. And it was 4 innings of 200 runs and 9 base runners, and the slider wasn't so good. So, all right, we move on. You have Dakota Hudson against the Twins being as good as possible. I remember Dakota Hudson being this like 1-4 whip guy with like a 19% strikeout rate and just saying, wait a second, the slider is actually like a really good pitch. It just doesn't strike out guys and he gets too many balls in play and it just doesn't like, he's not really being the best he can be here. Well, this was against the Twins, got a win, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts, but only 9 whiffs and a 23% CSW. So when he got the 2 strikes, it was a big put-away rate, really good one here. The slider was as good as I've seen with 9 whiffs, but we're not going to believe this. There's no way, and I just cannot think that he's going to be that efficient for getting his strikeouts. Also, the Rays are up next, and I mean, maybe the slider is just that amazing that he's going to be like, look, I'm going to go 50%, 60% sliders now. It's possible. You didn't do it here, and we'll see. I don't think that's going to happen. Logan Gilbert against the Red Sox, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks in, 5 Ks, 17 whiffs, got a gallows pole, and guess what? 9 over 38 whiffs on the slider. Oh, boy. It's about dang time, Logan Gilbert. And he put them on the bottom of the zone. And then his four-seamer went 4 for 40 whiffs in a 14% O-swing. Like, that's why it was nearly a very poor quality start for Logan Gilbert. The slider is there now. Great. but it was all in the context of, hey, you have this really good four-seamer foundation. Now I need that slider also there. So hopefully some strikes with the curveball too and the splitter or whatever also helping. And if you don't have the four-seamer cooking, then it's not as good. But at least he has that skill. I mean, that's a new skill. I need the old skill to return first, right? Please hold on to this new skill. Please have this slider. That would be so good. That just changes everything for you. And we got to believe that the four-seamer comes back. I hope this isn't a case of him getting a little bit more on the side of the ball to make sure the slider works. That would then mess up the active spin on his four-seamer. And what I mean by that is if his wrist essentially is changing a little bit more to the right where he's supinating, that is, he's falling off the right side of the ball, that would mean that he's not getting his full wrist behind the four-seamer, so then making it so that it's full backspin on release, which would then keep the carry up. We've seen that before with pitchers throwing cutters, where if you introduce cutters, we've seen that four-seamers get a little bit worse. I do hope that's not the case here for Logan Gilbert. That would explain it a little bit. I hope that that's not the case, and he comes back and has both the slider getting whiffs and the four-seamer doing its old thing. Kodai Senga did terribly against the Royals, which is not fun whatsoever, and reminds me that there is still some volatility with Kodai Senga despite how good the last month has been. It's 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 11 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. What? So many hits on the fastballs and the forks balls. You got to get more of those down the fork balls. He did still have 7 whiffs on it, and it's just kind of how it is. I mean, 13 base runners, only 300 runs is pretty good, honestly, for holding off damage. We've seen 12 runs on 13 base runners or so before. So, like, good job, Senga, but, yeah, not fun. That, I guess, is a singled-out game, I should say. Grayson Rodriguez against the Jays, a bit of a careful Icarus here. We had 2 of those, same with Yonny Chirinos. Both of the same thing of allowing those runs in the 6th inning, as well as 5.2 innings of 300 runs for Grayson Rodriguez. He allowed 2 of his 3 runs in that inning, and then there's a 4th one when he went out of the game that wasn't attributed to him. But it was 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks, and Grayson Rodriguez, really good fastball now. 98.5, he's sitting there now. He's not at 96, 97. That's another start of him increasing that velocity, which is so good. Up in the zone, the top half, that's great. This wasn't with the changeup and slider down as much. I mean, slider was a little bit better than we've seen more success with it, but I really just want to see the Blake Snell blueprint from him. And I just can't get latched in. I can't latch onto this until I really believe that he can keep that four-seamer up and then keep those changeups and sliders down. I need to see it like over like 2-3 starts. I saw like 1 start of a decent amount of it. And then, like, hinting at it, and then this, and it's just, but that's a good whip. That's a sub-1 whip. That is also 6 Ks, and after 5, he only allowed 1 earned run. So we're fine with this because the four-seamer is dominating that much, but I just want that last piece, right? And with Yonny Chirinos, it was 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. This was much better than I've seen from Yonny Chirinos as the slider was, the splitter was much better at 7 over 31 whiffs of the 32% CSW. So he's in the rotation, I guess, as a number 5. Max Fried comes back and kicks out, not Chirinos, essentially whatever they were doing in that spot, like AJ Smith-Shaver, for example, all this other stuff. So we might see more of him here. It's just 75 pitches. He got a win, and there is a decently high win chance for pitching for Atlanta, considering you have like Giolito on the other side, or like a lot of these pitchers who just get demolished by Atlanta. I just don't really think that Yonny Chirinos is that good. I don't think that splitter is going to be this good, and I don't want to do this. Braxton Garrett against the Phillies, 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. The cutter is not there. The sinker is way over the zone. I don't like it. There is a velocity jump of 1.5 ticks, and that means that the sinker and the four-seamer combined to 38% CSW. I think that was just because it was inside the zone. The Phillies were a little bit more passive for the called strikes, and he's not really commanding it super, super well. So I'm not back in on Garrett yet. Sorry, Braxton Garrett. It was a fun ride, though. Kyle Freeland's throwing harder as he comes back from the IL, and he's still at 89.9 miles per hour. So no. No, thank you. Oswaldo Beto is not going long enough, and this was the Tigers, and he did terribly, so no thanks. Drew Smyly, 7 Ks, and he did increase the velocity on the curveball a little bit with 30% CSW in both the hook and the sinker. But it was 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs and 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. So we are not back here. Brandon Williamson against the Cubs, womp womp. I mean, it is the Cubs. The Cubs are hitting really well right now. And I'm still searching for that number 3 pitch for Brandon Williamson. He did get 7 Ks, which is cool. but it was only four whiffs. So the sweeper, changeup, curveball are just not that good, and I feel like that is too risky on a given night, save for the worst offenses where he can just cruise with inside four-seamers and cutters against right-handers and a bad offense. You have Shane McClanahan against New York, which is really disappointing because he left this game with an elbow injury. Now, after the game, they said that Kevin Cash said that the elbow pain was outside the arm, not inside. Inside generally turns into Tommy John. Outside is not as serious, and he's going to get an MRI. He was also hitting 99.8. That's where he maxed on the fastball. So it wasn't like McClanahan was just down velocity, had a hurt elbow, and that generally means Tommy John. There's something weird. Might be like loose bodies or something like that that we've seen. They aren't scared, but it's just, man, there's just always another thing with Shane McClanahan. It's really, really annoying. Also, the changeup and slider were pretty much 50% saves. That was 48% for the slider, 50% for the changeup, and it's across 41 thrown. Man, this is frustrating. Dylan Cease and Lucas Giolito both got destroyed. Hogan Harris got destroyed too because it's the Dodgers and it's Hogan Harris, and we don't do that. With Giolito, 3.2 innings of 9 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. Oh boy. There is a curse that he has of pitching early in the game. And honestly, like when it comes to locations in this, he did really well. Really good pitch separation. Yeah, this is just one of those things where Atlanta is just so stupid and you just got to, like, what are you going to do? You keep starting Giolito. Dylan Cease is a little bit more concerning. I mean, it was against the Rangers, who are also an elite offense here. And it was 1.2 innings of 7 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 1 strikeout. He got 8 whiffs on 79 pitches. He needs 79 pitches. I cannot believe the White Sox allowed Dylan Cease in 2 innings to essentially throw 80 pitches, averaging 40 per. That's unreal. What are you doing? Do not over... That is worse than throwing a pitcher 8 innings at 115 pitches. Absolutely. Like, you cannot... It's about strenuous innings. And how could you do that? I'm really upset about that. I didn't realize that last night when I was reading or writing this up, how many pitches they let him throw. That's insane to me. And Dylan Cease is obviously a cherry bomb right now. It's against Texas. I can't really harm him that much. He's just, you know, not really the guy that you want him to be. And we move on. You're going to start him moving forward, and that's that. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's starters. You have today... In the top tier, Kevin Gausman, Shohei Ohtani, Max Scherzer, and Julio Urias. Pretty obvious. Probable start tier, Sonny Gray, Mitch Keller, Christian Javier. Mitch Keller and Christian Javier, a little bit more contentious there, but I think Mitch Keller looked good after a stumbling in the first inning or two against the Phillies and really got locked in, and that looked like the Mitch Keller we know. Well, Christian Javier against the Yankees, I feel like the Yankees are just not an offense that has a high morale right now, and Christian Javier with those really good fastballs last time, I hope do stick around. Questionable start tier, the stream pick is JP Sears. I don't know if I like this or not. I decided to bench in my league. I mean, this is questionable start, but I do think JP Sears is in a really good place right now with that slider and fastball. It's just the Dodgers are really good. Brady Singer, you don't know what you're going to get, even though he just had amazing sinker slider command. I can't really buy it. Michael Lorenzen gets the Marlins. The Marlins are kind of good. Flaherty gets his first start as an Oriole, but it's in Toronto. Brian Wu against the Angels. You don't know what you're going to get there. It's also better Angels offense, and Wu's fastball wasn't good last time. Cueto against the Phillies. Tyone against the Reds. Clark Schmidt against the terrifying Houston Astros. And Adrian Hauser maybe just chucks enough fastballs to make that work against the Pirates. Well, I just don't want to do Brandon Faught in the Do Not Start tier against the Giants, even though it's Oracle Park. I just feel like Faught just doesn't offer enough. Carrasco, Weaver, Liberatore, Tuki Toussaint, and Sean Manaea. Sean Manaea is not going to go along in this one. It's going to be an opener of Scott Alexander. You just don't do it. All right, looking forward to tomorrow. You have Luis Castillo, Aaron Nola, and James Paxton. It's a very clear auto starts there. You have aces going to ace possibility with Paxton if he does do well in this one. If he soars against the Jays, aces going to ace label you get. Nola is not quite there, but he gets a Royals, so it's just a safer play for tomorrow. Probable start here. I debate a lot with this one. Bailey Ober's at the top against the Diamondbacks. Fine. Bobby Miller against the Pirates. I feel good with that one. He's in a good place right now. Much better approach with slider and curve. Reed Detmers against the Mariners. Not been good the last 30 days. A lot of people are going to say that. No, don't do this. Except that it's been elite offenses that he's faced. And now it's the Mariners where he's going to dominate out of the zone with it. I feel really good about this one. Also a pretty high win chance, I think, considering the Angels are a really good offense at the moment, even without... I believe Trout is coming back very soon. So maybe even he is there tomorrow. We'll see. Jordan Montgomery against the Marlins. Probably not Trout tomorrow, but we'll see. Jordan Montgomery against the Marlins. You have Montgomery having his first start for the Rangers. I think that's a good matchup for him. Marlins a little bit better than they used to be, but still, Montgomery should be safe there. And now you have some interesting ones. Yu Darvish against the Dodgers. You kind of start Darvish regardless of opponent, but still, the Dodgers are really, really good right now, and I don't know exactly what approach we're going to see from Darvish there. Hunter Brown just had a good start, and I don't know if he's going to have those sliders and curveballs down enough for the Yankees, but the Yankees are kind of weird, and you're fine starting against him. Dean Kramer against the Mets. Kramer didn't do well so last time, but it's against the Yankees, and now it's the Mets who are also down in their morale. I feel like Kramer could come through there. Jesus Luzardo gets the Rangers. The Rangers are such a good offense right now, and if you want to bench Luzardo, by all means. But Luzardo had one bad start and then was absolutely killer otherwise. He was on the verge of aces going to ace, and I think, honestly, if he comes through here, I'm giving it to him as well. But very, very scary one. If he really just dominates here, and it's just like, okay, cool, yeah, you get it. Merrill Kelly against the Twins did not do well in his second start back from the IL. So I don't really know if the command is totally there against the Twins. I feel like, though, it should be good enough. Questionable start here. You see Max Fried against the Cubs. You're like, wait, Nick, shouldn't he be higher up? The win chance is really good. He threw 80 pitches in rehab. Yeah, he hasn't been dominant in rehab, and it's a still ill. Still ill, generally, I'm just like, no, questionable start. It's just generally what I do, unless it's an amazing, amazing matchup. The Cubs are really good right now. They're one of the hotter teams in baseball. So I feel like, you know what? I'm going to put him in questionable start here. I don't think the ratios are going to be that long. I don't think he's going to get more than five. I don't think it's going to be a ton of strikeouts. But if you want to do it for the win chance, I understand. You can push him up and start him for the probable start here. Colin Ray is my stream pick of the day against the Pirates. Colin Ray had a new sweeper that is really, really exciting. Down and away last time, and it's the Pirates, and that could work out. But, of course, I recognize that sweeper could just not be there. Logan Allen against the White Sox. His velocity is down. Did not really take advantage of good matchups lately. The White Sox, though, are a good team to stream against. So, you know what? I understand if you want to do that. You also have Graham Ashcraft against the Nationals. Ashcraft is going to do what he does. He's going to chuck cutters over the plate. Some sliders are too. Hopefully, they're good ones. The Nationals are terrible. But I don't really want to do it. Do not start here. You could even make an argument that Zach Little should actually be above Ashcraft against the Tigers, as he came through last time as he's trying to do the Blake Snell blueprint. The Tigers aren't that good. I mean, they're getting a little bit better, and you have a decent win chance. I kind of just don't want to touch Zach Little. Watch, I'm gonna make him the SP roundup lead on Saturday morning. Watch that. Reese Olson is on the other side of that. Changeup has not been good enough. The fastballs haven't been good enough, but it is a really good slider. It is against the Rays. The Rays aren't as scary as they used to be, but still don't want to do it. Mike Clevinger against the Guardians. It's just too boring, and the Guardians don't really strike out. Kyle Hendricks against Atlanta, so no. David Peterson is not doing his great things as he enters the rotation. It might also be Tyler McGill. We'll see. If Tyler McGill gets an opportunity later on this week, it might be something where McGill goes on Saturday. Actually, I think that's what's going on. So it's Peterson on Friday. I don't want to start either one against Baltimore. I think Baltimore is really good. Baltimore is Baltimore and all. But it's, yeah, I don't want to do it. Slider's not good enough. Alec Manoah, absolutely not against the Red Sox. There's a chance he gets better with the slider and everything, but no, don't do it. Wait to see it. Adam Wainwright does get Rocky Road, and there's a desperate chance here, but no, I don't want to do that. Quinn Priester hasn't made it work so far, but it is the Brewers, but no. Jordan Lyles and Patrick Corbin, absolutely not. Doesn't matter. And Luis Severino against the Astros, no way. I mean, maybe this is the start. That's great. I still feel in my gut that at one point Luis Severino is going to do it, but absolutely not. And Chris Flexen against the Cardinals, no thank you whatsoever. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support. That is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.